Today is the first Sunday in Lent. Our scripture lessons are from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18, Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10, and the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 16. Today's message is titled, "The Lord Will Provide." Genesis chapter 22. Beginning of verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place of God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father?"
"Yes, my son."
Abraham replied, "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham."
"Here I am,"
he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Here ends Genesis chapter 22 reading. Psalm 25, beginning of verse 1. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me, nor one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good. O Lord, Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. Here ends the reading from Psalm 25. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishers of men. Here ends our reading from the Gospel according to Mark. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, and look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As from the Gelesium Sacramentary. Towards the conclusion of my Ash Wednesday message, Lenten Journey, this past Wednesday evening, I shared a quote from Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Faith. And I share the quote with you this morning. Only in a world where faith is difficult can faith exist. Does that get you thinking? Only in a world where faith is difficult can faith exist. I mean, difficult faith, challenging faith. Faith that is there in the smooth sailing, that smooth sailing weather. But you really want that faith to especially be there in the storms of life, where the only thing to hold on to, the only thing to hold on to with all of your dear life is faith. Faith. The Lord will provide. Hebrews 11, the by faith chapter, where you find the list of those that lived by faith. Abel, offering the better sacrifice by faith. Enoch pleases God with faith. Noah building an ark. And all the faith that's there, and then you come to Abraham. There's several lines in Hebrews 11 about Abraham and faith. Step by step in his life, Abraham was more and more faith. Abraham left everything behind to go to the place where God called him to go. Where is it? I'll show you when you get there. Then an inheritance to come when you get there. To Abraham, well, he didn't know where he was going or what the inheritance would be, but he left his home. By faith, he left his home and he went to the land where God had promised him. And in that land would be his inheritance, but he lived as a stranger and in a tent. By faith, as an old man with an old wife who was well past childbearing age, God says, "You'll have a son." I love this wording in Hebrews 11, talking about this event. Hebrews 11, verses 7 and 8. Listen to the humor in it. It's wonderful. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And then next is, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And then a little bit later it says, and by faith they had a son from a body that was good as dead. I mean, there it says, Abraham was good as dead and had a son. Oh, such wonderful words there. But you know, Abraham left his home when he was 75 years old. He was given this promise of a son when he was 75 years old. It was 25 years later the Lord fulfilled the promise. Have you waited 25 years yet for a promise to be fulfilled? 25 years, a son will be born and the son will be named Isaac, meaning laughter. As Sarah laughed when she gave birth to the child the next year. She laughed. It's written in Genesis 18. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah is well past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'll return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Again, Genesis 21, Sarah laughs. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a child, that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. At age 8 days old, yes, 8 days old, the sign of the covenant was given to Isaac. Yes, that's the name of the boy, Isaac. And Isaac means, as I'm sure you remember, he laughs. Isaac means he laughs. Now, recounting the background concerning Isaac, it's important to see what the Lord is going to do next and ask of Abraham. I mean, waiting 25 years for the promise of this son to be fulfilled, then experiencing the one that indeed is anything too hard for God. I mean, experience anything too hard for God? Abraham and Sarah, they experienced the Lord God giving a son. And when the world says impossible, no, not what happened for Sarah, well past the ability to conceive and have a child, the Lord was not hindered one bit. That experience of the Lord, from our perspective of overcoming inheritance, surely a major hurdle, it gives hope for what will come. The Lord will provide. Isaac is growing up, and Isaac's the joy of Abraham's life. 100-year-old man has a son in his old age. It's a very precious and cherished gift from the Lord. And now we find this, Genesis 22 begins. Sometime later, God tested Abraham and said, Abraham, here I am, Abraham replied. God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering as one on the mountain I will tell you about. First, the scripture does not give Isaac's age. It's just recorded some time later. The Hebrew is closer to this. And it came to pass after these things. It came to pass. Time has passed. Years have passed. The age of the boy, the age of the young man, or even possible a young adult now. Even, we don't know the age. But the age does not impact the lesson of the test. The lesson of the test. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to Moriah, the Moriah region, to sacrifice him there. Now, as you heard that carefully, are other passages of Scripture coming to your mind? Your son, your beloved son, sacrifice him. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, sacrifice him. As Jesus was baptized, it's written in Mark chapter 1, a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. During the transfiguration on the mountain, Mark chapter 9, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Gospel of John, while meeting with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 in the middle of the night, the time it is written this here, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now you're starting to see the parallels between Genesis 22 and the gospel story, gospel accounts. Jesus is the loved Son, the beloved Son, the one and only Son, the only begotten Son, one and only begotten Son, Isaac, the only son of Abraham and Sarah, the promised only Son, Jesus, the promised and only begotten Son of God. Abraham, sacrifice your only beloved Son. The Father will sacrifice his only beloved begotten Son, Jesus. There in Genesis chapter 22, you really do find the gospel of Jesus Christ foreshadowed with very great detail. Isaac. And what is a roundabout guess at Isaac's age is old enough and strong enough to carry the wood. Abraham did not delay in his going. The very next morning, got up, gathered the servants, cut enough wood for a proper burnt sacrifice, and they set out for the region with Moriah, with Isaac too. Cut enough wood for the sacrifice. Set out to the place God will show you in the region of Moriah. Just as Abraham did all those years earlier, leaving Haran to go to the place where God will show him. Now, years later, Abraham is setting out to the place the Lord God will show him. 3 days. They travel 3 days. On the third day, they see the place. Interesting, 3 days. Does Jonah come to mind? 3 days. Does Jesus come to mind when you hear 3 days? And it was on the third day Abraham looks up and sees the place where the Lord has chosen. Leaving the two servants behind to wait for their return, Genesis chapter 22, verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac is old enough to carry a large bundle of wood. Next, another clue. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, the fire and wood are here, Isaac said. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac's old enough to know what sacrifice involved. Abraham had taught Isaac the faith. Can you imagine the impact of that question on Abraham? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham's son. Abraham knows his son is to be the offering. This is what the Lord God said to Abraham to do. Now is the foreshadowing becoming more crystal clear to you? Perhaps what is written in the Gospel of John chapter 1 will be of help. John chapter 1 verse 29, John the baptizer says, the next day John, that's John the baptizer, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Into Abraham's ears comes his beloved son's voice. Here is the wood, here is the fire. Where is the lamb? Reaching down into that deep place where faith resides in difficult times, Abraham answers, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Do you like tests? Did you like tests when you were in school? And those of you who are in school still, do you like tests? Okay, books closed, pencils aside, and I'll grab paper, pencil, everything clear, desk. Pop quizzes, do you remember those days? Well, I think this, take your son inside, is more than a pop quiz. I mean, you didn't eagerly look forward to exams. I mean, none of you are like Hermione Granger in the Harry Potter fiction. She loved exams. I mean, none of you are that. Do you look forward to exams? Do you really want to take an exam? Do you love taking tests? But tests, they serve a purpose. Did you actually learn? Do you actually know how to do the math? Do you know how to do the biology, the chemistry? Do you know how to spell correctly? And do you remember the definition of the word so you use the words correctly? Shop class. I mean, remember the test if you had shop class, how to use the equipment safely? I mean, band saws and table saws and all those saws are very dangerous. You got to know how to use them safely. I mean, Greek class. I had Greek class. I had tests to see if I could translate the Greek properly in the New Testament. It's a matter of the test to see what is actually, in reality, been internalized and has become part of you. That's the purpose of a test. Engineering degrees. I mean, if a person gets an engineering degree, you know, it really is a matter of everyone's safety that the engineer who designed the bridge knew how to properly do that. Or the engineer that designs the brake in your car actually knows the brakes will do what they're designed to do. How about an elevator? Would you get in an elevator in a building that the engineer didn't pass his test? You want your doctor to know their stuff and diagnose your ailment. Abraham, what is the essence of the faith in you? From the faith, Abraham answers, Elohim Yara. Elohim Yara, God will provide. And then Abraham adds, the Lamb. God will provide himself the Lamb. They reach that place in the region of Moriah, and they build an altar. They arrange the word, and the old man Abraham binds his vigorously strong son Isaac, laying him down on the altar. Take the full image in. Have you ever carried a bundle of firewood? I mean, just a cubic foot of firewood. A cubic foot of firewood's about 30 pounds. That's a cubic foot's just enough of firewood for a small campfire to roast some marshmallows for some s'mores. I mean, that's 30 pounds. Oh, how much wood is needed for a burnt sacrifice? What size of pile of wood? Much more than a cubic foot, more than 30 pounds. The sacrifice, the size of Isaac, how much wood would that need? That's what the Lord commanded, was the size of Isaac's sacrifice. It weighed many more times than 30 pounds. It'd be well over 100 pounds. Who knows, 200 pounds or more. You know, we forget how strong people actually were back then from manual labor and all the work they did. We forget how strong they were. But what this means is Isaac was vigorously strong, because all the wood was put on him, carrying the size of load needed for a burnt sacrifice. But also, did you notice it means, it shows you that Isaac is a willing sacrifice. He's submitting to his father Abraham. Isaac is being a willing sacrifice. Now, even though the imagery we see of Isaac portrays him as a boy, more and more commentators say 18 to 20 years old, because the word that's used actually means a young man or older. Other commentators put him as 25 years old. Isaac's 25. And at least one commentator, listen to this, puts it at 33 years old. The power of that foreshadowing of 33 years old. The parallelism, the shadow, foreshadowing of Abraham and Isaac, is it becoming more and more clear? The Father in heaven and the Son Jesus, who is the Christ. The Lord will provide the Lamb Himself. Altars built, wood on the altars placed. Isaac is bound by his father and placed on the wood in the altar. Genesis 22, verse 10. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. The land of Ur, where Abraham was called out of from God years earlier. The land of Ur, ritual human sacrifice. Archaeology has found that human sacrifice in Ur was on a very large scale. And Ur was not alone in human sacrifice. During that time, other gods were worshipped with human sacrifice. And you know, on the continents this direction, the Incas, they did human sacrifice on a very large scale too. Where is the Lamb? Hebrews called out by God. The Hebrew children called out by God out of that land of Ur. Chosen by God. Abraham called out and chosen by God to be the Hebrew people. Where is the Lamb? Isaac asks. The knife is raised. It's poised to do as the Lord commanded. The test is now at its critical point. Will Abraham do it? And just as Abraham's ready to do what's commanded, voice calls out, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld me, your son, your only son. Now I know you fear God. God knew Abraham's faith. Now Abraham knows that he truly will obey and worship God. Abraham looks up, and in a thicket there's a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed as a burnt offering instead of his son. How did that ram get there? Why didn't they notice the ram beforehand? Something more is happening here, and that was for Abraham to know the Lord will provide. Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, on there, the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, we're not done with connecting all the dots here. Where is the Lamb? The Lord will provide. Abraham feared God. Abraham reverenced God so much above all other things that obeying the Lord is to be done in all things. Faith is to trust in all things. With the ability to answer that question of Isaac. Where is the Lamb? The Lord will provide. The test for Abraham was more fully understood. The Lord will provide. And for us to prophetically give us the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thousands of years before the incarnation of Christ and the redeeming work on the cross. Where's the Lamb? The Lord will provide. Do you realize Jesus was on wood on the hill of sacrifice? He was stretched out on a cross. He was on wood on the hill of sacrifice. And do you know that there, the Temple Mount, Jerusalem, was built on Mount Moriah, where Abraham built the altar to sacrifice Isaac? 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. It was on the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite, the place provided by David. George Mueller, rescuing children from the streets of Bristol, England, he wrote an account of his living faith in a book so others would come to see the Lord does provide by prayer, by faith. I mean, by faith, trusting God to build faith in others through what God did in his life too. And Reverend Mueller tells of one day as breakfast was about to be served, there was no food in the whole place of the orphanage to place before the children. Still, they had the 300 children in the orphanage sit down to pray. They thanked God for the food and waited. George had experienced the Lord providing all different times through his life before this. So children, sit down and pray. The plates are empty. The table's empty. Sit down and pray. The Lord will provide. Lift up the prayer. A knock comes to the door. Bread. I had to get up early and bake this bread for the orphans. The baker had felt God had nudged him to do that, and he did. Soon another knock comes to the door. The milkman's cart broke down right side outside the orphanage. The milkman had no way to deliver his milk. Here's the milk for the children today. No way to deliver. The Lord provides. Even in the little things of life, the Lord provides. Shared this on Ash Wednesday too. It's a little book my grandfather was given up at Selfridge Field before he was deployed as a chaplain in World War II, the Army Air Corps. Inside the front cover are these words written to my grandfather from his brigadier. The name of the book is God's Purpose, a book of 366 daily sermonettes by 366 eminent clergymen of the English-speaking world. So this is written in the front, inside front cover to my grandfather from his brigadier. He loves. He knows. He cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives their very best to those who leave their choice to him. Where is the lamb? The Lord will provide. What am I going to do about tomorrow? Leave your choice to him. Because he knows, he loves, he cares. And the rest of the inside the book is to Chaplain D. Lee, Selfridge Field, 1941, Mount Clemens, Michigan. George Legares, that's the best we could decipher, and it says Brigadier. Not sure the general's last name. I mean, I'm trying to decipher, actually I haven't had the decipher, her eyes are better than mine. 83-year-old ink in the front of a book. But he loves, he knows, he cares. Nothing can this truth condemn. He gives the very best to those who leave their choice to him. Where's the lamb? The Lord will provide. What about tomorrow? The Lord will provide. What about next week? The Lord will provide. What about eternal life? The Lord has provided the lamb. For on Mount Moriah, the city of Jerusalem, on wood, a man's arms were stretched out and crucified for you. Who was this man? The Christ, the beloved Son of God, the Lamb of God. The Lord did provide the Lamb. And by that Lamb, crucified and risen Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Your sins are forgiven. So as Jesus went about proclaiming in Galilee, repent and believe. Believe. Repent and believe. Where is the Lamb? The Lord will provide. The Lord did provide all you really, truly needed. Forgiveness of sin. It's yours by faith through grace. Eternal life is yours. And if he takes care of that big thing for you, take the little things to him in prayer. He knows, he loves, he cares. The Lord will provide. Amen and amen.